Welcome to the Tile SM podcast, episode 380. We are well into the off season. We are still waiting for news of a takeover. We are still waiting for our first signing, which I suppose is not unusual this time of year. But to join me on this kind of impromptu pod, really, kind of roundup of tidbits, if you like, over the last week or so, is Ross, as always. Ross, you're wearing a very fetching Juve shirt there, aren't you? What season's that from?
I think this is last season. It's the pink one. It's kind of got like sunbursts all over. It's nice. Got blue colors and... Yeah, it's a really good one. Another eBay masterstroke. I think I picked this one up for $30. So I don't know if it's the same in the UK, but eBay in the US is fantastic for jerseys.
What's $30 in proper money? How much is that?
25 quid, something like that. And I picked this one up. Yeah, same season. So I'm pretty happy. But yeah, it's warm. It's very warm in America right now. So we're into our summer kits. We're into shorts and things like that.
Fair enough. Well, we got a few bits to talk about. We're going to kind of get into those shortly. Big thanks, as always, to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, who continue to give us, what do they give us? Support. Yeah, that's what
it is. A little bit every single week that goes a long way.
It does. A little bit of love from afar. So that's what we need. Talking of love, there was a lot of love for the under-21s last night. We're fresh off a defeat, sadly, in the semi-finals. So we're going to talk about that first off after this short break.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
All right, Ross. Over 2,000 people at the Stade d'Essiel last night to watch the under-21s. Give it the beans. I have to say, give it the beans. But ultimately fall short. I say at the final header, it wasn't. It was a semi-finals opportunity to meet Tottenham Hotspur in the final of the PL2 competition. I was there. I was in the ground next to our esteemed editor Sim. But I know you were watching legally on YouTube via a legal link. Yep. We'll point that out because there's been a few issues with illegal streaming in other sports, shall we say, this weekend. cost the rights holders a lot of money if you're into your boxing, put it that way. You did the ratings, which I have to say, you know, fully agreed with. What overall did you make of the over 2 hours of football that we were witness to yesterday from Noel Hunt's team?
I thought it was an enjoyable game. Obviously, it didn't have the right result for Reading fans, but it was certainly a good time. So I was watching live on YouTube, as the commentator kept saying, which was very amusing. And so I'm like,
who was the commentator? Was it Sunderland? Or was it?
It was the Sunderland team, yeah. And he did seem to know a decent amount about his academy team, to be fair. So maybe they've put on a few other streams. But he was pretty good, actually. I thought he was all right. Obviously, he was supporting Sunderland because he works for Sunderland. But you know, he was pretty good. But he did keep saying it was live on YouTube, which just made me laugh because all kinds of weird stuff is live on YouTube. So anyway. Yeah, I think it was enjoyable for the most part, but in terms of how it ended, agonizing is the right word. Really, it was seconds away from being won in 90 minutes or 99 minutes. It was very long, a bit of injury time. And then obviously they were seconds away from reaching penalties after scrapping through extra time down a man for much of that period. So I thought it was a really great performance from the Reading team and a performance is kind of typical of the performances that we saw from the main men's team at the end of the season, where they were, you know, passionate about representing their club and trying to make a difference and all those kinds of things. And it's great to see as well that there was strength on the bench. I thought that Basil Tuma came on and had a good game. I certainly think that there were, you know, a lot of imperfections, and at times the game breaks down and you remember that you're watching U21 football, but for the most part, you know, a lot of the players are able to come on and affect things, whereas other players were able to, you know, even if they went quiet for certain periods of the game, come back into it. I thought that, is it John Ryan, I think, the right back, I thought he was pretty good through the first 60 minutes. And then once some of the starters started to get subbed off, he really came into the game more. So I thought it was a good performance, and good to see some players who have made it into the first team a few times as well. But yeah, anyone stand out for you, Ben?
Well, I mean, you know, I was just looking, I was trying to find the official attendance, 2,374 people in the ground.
It's fantastic.
Which is great. And I, you know, we said this on the last pod, but we know it's free and we know it's, you know, you don't have to physically pay any money to it, but actually you still got to commit to it. You still got to go, you know, Monday night or whatever. And yeah. It was great to see. I mean, in terms of standout, it's difficult. You know, you have to look at the opposition in some respects. I was sat next to a Sunderland fan, actually, which is quite nice because obviously anyone who knows I'm a big rugby union fan, and one of the positives of that sport is that you get to sit with opposing fans, and it's quite nice on occasions. You know, it doesn't always have to be I'm going to kill you stuff. But he, right. You know, he was, do you know what I mean? Like it's quite nice. And he,
no, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm finding it funny because I went to an MLS game this weekend where you sit with the, like you yeah. can, you can sit all together, yeah. The visiting fans and the home fans all sit together. I sat approximately, we're playing Philadelphia, okay. and I sat approximately two yards behind some guys in Philly shirts. They were perfectly nice. They're perfectly fine. Yeah. All game. Long drive home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this guy, I don't know if he was next to me, if he'd actually driven from Sunderland. He definitely had a kind of a Macam accent, if you like. And, you know, we were talking before the game and he said, oh, you know, our number two, who was a guy called Ellis Taylor, who, if you followed the game, will know that he scored a hat-trick. He's just been released by the club, very similar to Matty Carson in some respects with our football club. And he, you know, he knew his stuff about Sunderland, about the first team, about the under-21s. And it was a very, very up and down game. I think if you're asking me to pick players, I really like Louis Holzman. I think he's a really, really good player. I think he's very, very accomplished. And, you know, we said before, but one of the positives about central defenders is you don't really know that you've seen them. You know, they're just kind of there and they do the stuff. And, you know, Michael Stickland to that note with captain, obviously yesterday, he was very, very good, I thought. Obviously, Ryan, you've mentioned, but it's difficult. It, when you get to that point, it is a slog. It was very, very topsy-turvy. And, you know, as I said in my video sort of post-match, there was a lot of resilience in the team and they scored very late twice. And I think, you know, them scoring in what, the 99th minute or something, which was farcical, really.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, it just knocked the stuffing out of the team, and by the end of it, you could just tell they were exhausted. They were absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at those players and also the way that they've kind of coped with the tournament in general over the last couple of weeks, do you honestly see any of those players potentially being around the first team this summer? You know, both in terms of the training camps, in terms of any pre-season friendlies that we do either in this country or abroad, you know, do you see anyone really staking a claim for kind of a squad place come, you know, August the 9th, August the 10th, when the season starts for real?
So I think that obviously the guiding light here is Wareham, in that he has been joining the squad for, I think, upwards of 10 games during the League One season. And certainly I think that he has a deal for next year, or at least intends on sticking around. So I think he's somebody who's going to want to push on and try and score some League One goals next season, you know, even if it is off the bench. I think he's going to want to push on. And I thought he had a pretty good performance yesterday. He put in one tackle that was a little suspect.
That was dreadful. That one and a halfway line, because I was right in line with him. And it, honestly, I kind of flinched, because any other, he could have sent him off. You know, if the Sunderland player had made more of it, that's a straight red card. He did catch him. Luckily for him, you know, the Sunderland player got up and didn't kind of milk it as such, but any higher on his leg, and you're talking about a serious injury. And I think that's a good point, actually. I thought at times yesterday he lacked a little bit of composure and a little bit of patience with his own positioning in the game. I like him as a player.
I did actually think, you know, weirdly, I thought he was actually better after the weird yellow card, red card incident. Like he then began being like more of a target, doing kind of what Sam Smith does, while being not, you know, the biggest guy. Obviously, he's quite strong, Jaden Wareham. I think that the some of the other academy lads give him a little bit of a hard time over the work that he clearly puts in the gym, which. Gotta love that man puts in a lot of hard time in the gym to work on his form.
He gets and then he gets back his abuse. Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah. Classic banter.
Yeah, it's great. It proper football team stuff. You know, like the way that like players wind each other up.
I do worry about him though, because if we go out and we get someone up front as a kind of a lone strike in the mold. In inverted commas of Sam Smith, you're going to have to look at Wareham off the bench and a squad player, really. If we don't do that, I think we'd be a little bit stupid not to in terms of the depth. But actually, he's going to find it difficult to be able to kind of stake a regular claim in the squad, for me anyway.
I
guess the other one, as you said, is obviously Ryan at kind of right back yesterday. And the other one that came on... I'll say the other one, but Senga had quite a good, I say cameo, came on at half time, you know, or just before half time.
For Wellens.
Yeah, and he looked all right. You know, he showed some good passages of play. He looked like he wanted to get on the ball and move it forward. So I think the positive thing is that, you know, unless other clubs come calling, most of that squad, bar Matty Carson, and you know, we have to give him his flowers a little bit, because actually he was technically released 2 or 3 weeks ago and he's still gone out and played. You know, I thought he was okay last night. You know, I really did. He scored an absolutely fantastic free kick to, I thought we'd won the game at that point. Probably a bit foolish to think that sort of 15 minutes left, but you know, he was very, very good going forward. And I think, forget that, he's a young lad and his head would be all over the place in terms of being released and wondering where his future lies, you know, with the club. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see where he ends up. I think
he's I just want to make this. I've said this once in the last couple of 24 hours, but he is a trebuchet of a set piece.
What's that? What is that?
Like, it's a big catapult. Let's just call it that. A big, long catapult. And just know that now that you've said what's that about a trebuchet, there are several nerdy listeners yelling at you right now about what a trebuchet is.
Is that your picture that you put up last night? Because I was like, what are you doing? What's that?
Yeah, I put
a picture up of ancient architecture. Weaponry.
No, it's not ancient. Medieval siege weaponry. That's what
architecture. Why would I say architecture? Look, what an idiot. Yeah, stupid.
If I needed someone, like if I needed a footballer to launch rocks at a castle wall, Matty Carson would be high up there on my list.
Great. Honestly, it was a great free kick. Absolute peach.
Yeah, fantastic. Kick, yeah.
And it, you know, if that's his last contribution to the club, fair play. Like you can't, you want to go out scoring a goal like that, really, you know. So, but you know, best wishes to him. But I think you're right with Wareham. Obviously, he's been in and around. I like Tuma. I think we talked about him before, haven't we?
I thought Tuma was good. Yeah,
Tuma, not Tuma. Dreadful.
Tuma. I don't even know. Adrian Akande. I thought scored a nice goal. An agonizing goal, again using that word, but where he, you know, burst onto it, ran himself into the box, and then literally waited until the last possible second to kick both the ball and then eventually the Sunderland player into the net at the same time.
Just bundled it over, didn't he? Do you know what? I feel like we've literally named all of the players because I'm about to finish it off by saying I really like Clark on the left wing, John Clark. I thought he was very, very understated as a player. And Sim reminded me that obviously when we had Mark Porter on from Port Vale, he reminded us that he came from Port Vale as well. So
there
was that link there. Yeah. But he's that classic, you know, kind of doesn't look like a winger, but actually is very, very good and very understated in what he does. So I thought, you know, John Clark was very good. So, all in all, disappointing result. Of course it is. But actually, we've said this previously, when you consider the resources that team were up against in that league, you know, Noel Hunt, Peter Scott and his team have done a fantastic job to really make those players believe and really dig deep and to kind of push on. And, you know, the previous two games, they were very, very comfortable. It just didn't work out for them this time. So, you know, hopefully they will, this will stand them in good stead and they can move forward from them. So, yeah.
Seconds away from a final.
Exactly. That's the important literally thing. You know, 12-yard death kicks would have followed, and that is a lottery, as they say in football.
Well, I'm talking about the 99.
Oh, the 99. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I forgot that even happened before extra time. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was such a gut punch, yeah. But anyway, good, well played by the boys and good stuff from Noel Hunt. And just not, last thing I'll say, nice to have Noel Hunt versus Graham Murty.
Do you know what? It was really, really funny because we weren't a million miles from him where we were sat, you know, in terms of dugout. He was almost like the pantomime villain. It was just really funny, like people were talking to him, and it was almost like I'm sure he was very taking it very seriously, but it was almost a bit like a friendly in the way that he was having like banter with the crowd and stuff. It was a weird, it was an odd atmosphere in some respects, because you know they opened up the kind of the away end per se, you know, next to the club 1871, and some of the youth kind of spilled in there and they were like, you know, chanting and singing songs, but no one else was really joining in with it. So there was like 20 of them up in the corner just making a lot of noise. And then there was
Focused on them on the TV.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They were actually quite loud.
It was hilarious. Yeah, yeah. And there was like a group of Sunderland fans lower down that stand. And I think it got a bit spicy when Sunderland equalised in the 99th minute or whatever. And there was like one steward basically just like looking at the kids, like, you know, just don't do that. Just kind of marshalling all these people. And it's like, it's not going to work, mate. It's not going to work. With the best will in the world, with all your stewarding badges, it's not happening. You're not going to get control.
You're trying to control 17 teenagers. Yeah, it's a chance, mate.
It's like a school trip gone wrong, basically. Like, it's horrendous.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but he tried. And it was good to see so many people there on a Monday night. Yeah. Long may it continue. Hopefully we'll get a few more games down the Select Carleton stadium this year in terms of the under 21s playing, because it is it's good to see them, it's good to support them, and it's good to see what the future of the football club looks like. So
for sure.
We've got like a sort of a longer mailbag, haven't we? This is kind of a weird pod because we wanted to come on and talk about the under 21s, but then we had a cracking email in response to our iconic 11s, which you're going to kind of talk about, and I'm going to chip in with my thoughts as well. So we're going to have a little break and then we'll come back into a large mailbag with one email. So see you in a bit.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
It is still a large mailbag, even when it is only one email, isn't it? Because like if you've got a sack and it's got like one really big potato in it, or it's got like lots of little potatoes and it weighs the same amount,
that's true,
still a big mailbag. So it's a big potato sack. So anyway, I wanted to
a big potato mailbag sack thing with one email in it, which Ross is going to read out, and I'm going to nod along knowingly, and then I'm going to talk.
We'll chat about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a really good email in the Tilehurst End inbox, and it came from a gentleman called Andy Broad. Now I think he lives out in Sweden, actually, in Stockholm, which is really cool.
He's an exile, Ross, just like you. He's an exile Reading fan.
Exile, exactly. There's literally dozens of us.
Millions,
right? There's literally dozens
of you. Well, maybe not
millions of Reading fans.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's basically getting in touch about the iconic 11 series. By the time this comes out, I believe we'll be two episodes deep into that. We've got more coming. So be ready for those. But lots of people kind of putting together teams of their own. And I think Andy sort of started putting this one together, and then he just had more to say than he realized he did when he got started, which again is the whole point of this.
It's a bit like our pod as well. What did we say? We'd chip in for like 20 minutes and we're well over that now.
So right, exactly. Yeah, waffle. Yeah. So whatever, that's fine. But he's gone for a 4-2-4, which is an interesting formation. He says, this isn't him claiming these are the best memories, just the ones that pop into his head now and again. So I'll go through the list for you, and then we can...
going to say we'll
talk about his
we'll soon see about that, Andy. Let me tell you, four up front, you greedy little so-and-so.
He's, well, they're an interesting four as well. So let's go. Let's start from the back. He's got Ali Alhabsi, which is obviously something that we had, previously.
Yeah. Can't knock it.
On the left back spot. Can't knock it, no.
Can't knock it.
Good goalkeeper. At left back, he's got Ian Hart. I think we've had him as well on the series so far. But
yeah,
he says, just love it when any team has a defensive player on set pieces, which, yeah, it's classic. It's Roberto Carlos. It's very 90s.
It's Matty Carson-esque. That's what it is.
It's Matty Carson-esque. There you go. There you go. So, so Paul McShane and Alex Pearce in the middle. So Alex Pearce we've had, but Paul McShane.
Can I tell you a funny story about Paul McShane?
When he
first signed, it would have been around about 2 or 3 months afterwards he'd signed. I was sat in the Dolan, obviously, as I always am, and behind me, this group of, men. Don't know why I'm surprised at that.
They weren't teenagers at the top of a stand.
Effectively, they come from Ireland, right? And they come to Reading to watch Paul McShane play. And it was really funny because every time he touched the ball or didn't touch the ball, they would just shout, "Go on, McShane," in Irish accents. And it was hilarious. For 90 minutes, it was just... And you knew it was coming, but you still laugh when it did. That's my only story I've got about Paul McShane. So.
No, I like that. That's very good. He says, Paul McShane went downhill very quickly, but on his day, a good centre-back and a proper captain, which I think I agree with. I think he was captain for Reading for a bit, right? And he was captain for Hull. Maybe as well. So, yeah, definitely.
So he might have been captain of United Youth, potentially, as well. That's where he came from originally. But he went back, didn't he? He went back to Man United. I thought he was playing for the under-21s or something, weirdly.
Oh, I thought that was Tom Huddleston. But you could be right about Paul McShane as well.
I'll have to check. He was all right. I liked him as a player. I thought he was all right. I thought he was okay.
Well, he says also he's got memories of him popping up with late winners, Brighton and Wolves being two that spring to mind.
Yeah.
But he says he scored unique finishes in the old high-vis kit. He's very much a high-vis kit era player to me, Paul McShane. Yeah. So that's great. And then he's got Alex Pearce, which we've talked about. Alex Pearce doing the most awkward step over ever, which I think we talked about with Ryan, which is good. So when we get to episode 3, you'll be able to hear about Alex Pearce. And then right back, I think you've got something to say about this one. Stephen Kelly, which is an interesting choice.
I mean, he's not even the best Stephen or Kelly to play for Reading or even be connected with Reading, to be honest, in my opinion. You know, you'd pick Stephen Hunt, possibly even Stephen Quinn, Kelly Chambers, manager of the women's team, Liam Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, so he's down a bit. Of all the right backs, and he's chosen Stephen Kelly. I'm just in my head. I'm just thinking, right, Murty, Gunter. I can't remember where Nathan Aki played for us. I can't remember if he was right back or centre back when he was on us on loan. Who else could you have at right back? Sean Cummings, for God's sake. You wouldn't pick Stephen Kelly over it, would you?
That's a great choice. Sean Cummings. Well, hang on. Let's give him his flowers just for 1 minute. He joined Reading in January during the last Premier League season. I'm not going to read out the date on which he joined, so it'll just make you sad, Reading fans, for how long ago that last January window in the Premier League was. He'd been playing for Fulham for a little while. He played in their win against Juventus when they went on that weird Europa League sort of thing. Wasn't he? Oh, no. I thought he was Welsh. So I thought
he played for Ireland. He was in the same team as Paul McShane, wasn't he? Irish.
Yeah, team. I think you're right. Yeah. But apparently he said, regardless of what happens, I've made the best. Coming here is the best decision I've made in football.
That's, who said that? That's Andy what he or said Stephen Kelly?
Stephen Kelly. That's what he said about Reading.
I just don't think he meant that, did he? I don't have anything against Stephen Kelly. I just don't. He's one of those players that I just go, well, I don't remember him. Really. I mean, of all the right backs that could have been or could have been chosen, I just don't think Stephen Kelly's there.
It's an intro. Well, that's what that's what this series is about, isn't it? It's finding the weird ones.
Yeah, but there's limits, Ross, though, isn't there?
If we ever succeed in getting Sim on, then we'll explore those limits.
Yeah, I mean his team is a banter fest,
and it's shocking.
It's absolutely. I mean, it's different. Put it that way.
Yeah,
it's very different. But whatever. All right, Andy. Look, we'll give you the first four, but I don't know about Stephen Kelly. Big fat question mark. And no offense to Stephen Kelly if he is listening. Sorry, Stephen Kelly. Don't know why I keep saying Stephen Kelly. Carry on.
Yeah, just it's an odd one. All right, center mids, only two of them. Only two of them. Both of them are quite good, though. He's got Ollie Norwood, talks about the 5-1 against Ipswich, Orlando Saar with the hat trick, and then he uses our term shit pinger to refer to the long hit of his.
That was a great night, actually. That game against Ipswich, we were a good team at that point.
Yeah,
very good team.
Ollie Norwood says something quite funny.
Yeah, go on.
In that next bit, Andy does. He says, "Felt from that moment we could be on for a proper season. Oh. We finished 17th.
We all did, though. It was a Friday night. Again, it's not about me. I've got a story about that. I'll tell you another time. Ipswich at home, but it was Friday night. We were really, really good. Orlando Saar was. It was like, where's this player come from? But he was really good. Who else was in that team? Was Nick Blackman in that team?
Yeah, he might have been. Yeah, I feel like Norwood definitely crossed over with him, like right after they came down into the Championship again.
John, I think ask a lot of Reading fans, they would pick Ollie Norwood.
He's high up on my list.
He obviously went on to have a pretty decent career after us as well. Just been released by Sheffield United, I think, actually. I don't think he's staying there next season. But
he'd been there for a long time.
He was a nice player. Nice player.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. His other sentiment is Alex Fernandez, which is a great choice.
Okay.
And I think we can say he reached out to the Tallaghast end in January when the protests were going on.
He loves us. Alex Fernandez loves the Tallaghast end. So
he loves Reading, and he's a good lad. No, I think he does. Okay, all right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of. Would you say he's a cult hero, Ross? I probably would.
I think so. He's a ginger Spaniard, and that always makes you very interesting to me.
That is true. That you can't debate that. Yeah, you can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does always tend to pop up every now and again with Reading themed stuff, and I think he was always pretty good with conversing with Reading fans online as well. I never met him. I can't honestly remember seeing him play that much either. But he does stick in the memory for a lot of Reading fans for whatever reason. So
he does. Yeah.
I mean, they'll be putting a lot of work in that team. If it's just those two in the engine room, they're going to be getting free miles, aren't they?
Well, do you want to hear who'll be doing bugger all work up top in the top four then?
Yeah, go on.
What we've got is a left wing and right wing. He's gotten, put them wherever you want, really, I would say. He's got Ola Jean on one side and he's got Callum Harriott on the other, which we'll less said about that, the better. And then we've got Puskas and Oliveira. Now, Oliveira got close to my team as well because I just think it's funny. I just like the mask. I think the mask is really cool. It's a great memory.
That's one of the worst injuries I've ever seen on a football pitch. That.
Oh, yeah, for 100%.
Dreadful.
No, that was awful. So that's Ola Jean, Callum Harriott, George Puskas, and Nelson Oliveira. Ola Jean, he says the goal in the old African Violet against Huddersfield is enough of its own. But he worked with a Palace fan who was in the away fan, and he doesn't remember the game, but it was when the Ola Jean and Lucas Piazon song was all the rage, which that was a good song.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Ola
Jean.
Like, who had more potential, Ola Jean or Lucas Piazon?
Can I consult FIFA and look at their projected whatever? Piazon, right? He stuck around long. Did Piazon come from Chelsea?
Yeah, I think he ended up at Fulham, didn't he?
Yeah, I feel like he was in that era of Chelsea where everyone and their mum got sent to Antwerp, basically, to develop or whatever. So it was just very, very odd. So
I like the idea of them going hand in hand with their mum to Antwerp. I think that's really fun.
Wow, it's a lovely place, you know. It's a good place to take your family members on holiday. George Puskás. So he brings up the moment that I expect most of us remember with George Puskás, which is of course the goal against Cardiff, where as Andy says, he takes the ball from his own half to the edge of the box, beats his man and rifles. Pin that, put a pin in that, rifles his shot in the far side of the goal. I was so excited for the player we had landed. It really felt like we'd landed an absolute superstar. I remember having my moment like that with George Puskás when he scored the hat-trick against Wigan. And I thought, oh, maybe we've got something here. It didn't work out. The rifle man didn't eventually work out for Reading, unfortunately. But yeah, good celebration. Good, interesting.
Well,
yeah.
I think he was the right player, wrong time. You know, honestly, I think there was a lot about him. I know people will go, you know, you look at Inter Milan in terms of players, but you don't end up at a club like that if you haven't got something about you. You know, you haven't got potential.
Yeah.
It was quite an incredible signing when he turned up. I would, out of those two, I would be picking Puskás over Oliveira for sure.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I thought Oliveira was actually the higher quality player. So that's, but this is a good team in that.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of very like switchable players.
There are. And they're going to be very fluid, put it that way.
Right. Exactly.
Two in that midfield officially, then they're going to have to be very, very fluid. But yeah, look, this is what it's about. This is why we did it. You know, we knew we had a lot of, to be blunt, we had a lot of time to kill, and we had a lot of people that were willing to kind of chip in with their 11s, and that's why we did it. And Andy, you know, we can sit here and take the mick all we want, but you know, really, really appreciate you getting in touch. And you know, you got some good players there. You know, I would agree with some of those for sure. It's just nice, isn't it? It's just interesting. I was talking to someone last night, and they said, you know, they'd listen to the, I think it was my one, I can't remember. They said they'd listen to one of them anyway. And just said that it just brought up some memories. And that's what it is, right? We can sit here and we could debate for hours and hours the best Reading team in inverted commas. But as Ross said when he kicked off the series, you know, this was about picking players that were kind of close to your heart, players that you really wanted to watch, players that evoked a lot of positive memories. And that's what we're doing. You know, we could be really negative and go choose your worst ever Reading 11, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because we had enough negativity this season. So.
Yeah, that's actually fair. I think amusing 11 is something I'm going to do at some point, right? So like Lucas Joao because of the Santa outfit, and like Royston Drenthe just because of his infamy, and Raphael because of the whiteboard incident, you know, like things like this. The infamous 11, I think, is worth a go.
You could go down the rabbit hole and go, I'm just going to pick like a solely European team.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a solely academy graduate team. I'm going to pick.
This is a little. Me,
I do a Welsh 11, you know.
This is a little self-indulgent, and I'll see if I can find it. But back in the days of Midweek Musings, which if you speak that name three times in the mirror, it will actually show up behind you. back in the days of Midweek Musings, for the last Euro, I actually did a rundown of like every team in it, every player from Reading from that country ever, and made like five-a-side teams out of them to see which I thought was the best, basically. And there was a surprising array of talent across the continent. So that was a kind of fun one. I have to see if I can
people that enjoy you know, the articles and the printed stuff that we don't print it, but you know what I mean, like the long form,
the old Tylehurst End newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the monthly magazine drop.
Yeah, the monthly
only, all that sort of stuff. If you go on a website, all of Ross's Midweek Musings will be there. Just have a look at them, because they're worth a look, really.
Don't look at all of them. There's just a man trying to find his way somewhere in there.
And what a way he found. He's now co-host of possibly the most popular Reading podcast ever made, or something. I don't know. But something, you know, like all jokes aside, have a look at them, because they are good. They're worth a watch. I guess the other thing we could do is pick your ultimate Reading five-a-side team. That would be.
Yeah, I think we should do that on the regular pod sometime soon. I'll have a think about that, because I think there'll be some like crossover with my, you know, like actual team. But I think it'll be fun. Like if we're talking five-a-side, I'd want to bring in guys like Ajaria, who
Savage goes in mine. 100% easy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like five aside's a very different game.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a good plan. But anyway, thank you to Andy, who says he's our number one fan in Sweden. If anyone else is in Sweden and wants to contest that, wants to use a trebuchet to launch stones at Andy, then we can do that. But honestly, Andy, I think we're recording an episode today because your email was just so interesting to us. So
it was big.
Yeah, a little bit of that, little bit of Carson's free kick.
Ultimately, we do really appreciate people getting in touch, and it was designed to kind of provoke conversation. That's all it was, and just to have a bit of a laugh of it. So I'm glad that people out there are kind of, you know, semi enjoying it, I guess, if you could ever enjoy anything. I don't know. But we appreciate it. We also appreciate Noel Hunt and his team, as we said at the start of this podcast, this kind of impromptu podcast, which has gone on a lot longer than we thought it would. But hey ho, that's a bonus episode 380 for you. We are desperate to be back with takeover news. We are keeping our diaries free so that we can jump on straight away. But at the moment, it looks like we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. How long? Nobody knows. But hopefully it will be done and dusted very, very soon. And we can all get on with supporting this football club that we love. Stay tuned for another Iconic 11, which is dropping soon. I think the next one is Ryan's. That will be out later this week, early next week. In the meantime, both Ross's and mine are up where you get your podcasts from, in all the usual places. We will see you again next time on a edition, shall we say, of the Tyler Sen podcast. My name is Ben Thomas. I'll be joined by Ross Webber. Come on, Reading.